The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 10, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 31st, 2009, in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, text number 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maya Dakshina Prakriti,
Maya Dakshina Prakriti,
Suyate Sacharacharam,
Suyate Sacharacharam,
Hetunanena Kaunteya,
Hetunanena Kaunteya,
Jagadbi Parivartate, Maya Dakshina Prakriti, Suyate Sacharacharam, Hetunanena Kaunteya,
Hetunanena Kaunteya,
Jagadbi Parivartate. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. It is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all the activities of the material world, remains the Supreme Director. The Supreme Lord is the Supreme Will and the background of this material manifestation, but the management is being conducted by material nature. Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita that of all the living entities in different forms and species, I am the Father. The Father gives seeds to the womb of the mother for the child, and similarly the Supreme Lord by his mere glance injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature, and they come out in their different forms and species according to their last desires and activities. All these living entities, although born under the glance of the Supreme Lord, take their different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So, the Lord is not directly attached to this material creation. He simply glances over material nature. Material nature is thus activated and everything is created immediately. Because he glances over material nature, there is undoubtedly activity on the part of the Supreme Lord, but he has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. This example is given in the Smriti. When there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person, yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. There is a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has nothing to do with this material world, but he creates by his glance and ordains. In summary, material nature without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot do anything. Yet the Supreme Personality is detached from all material activities. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamala
Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So they say there is no God. So how's everything happening if there's no God? If you look at all these lights here, and I tell you there's no powerhouse, will you believe me? Isn't it? So how they can say there is no God? This is rascaldom. Simply rascaldom. Of course they complain when we say that word, you know. They say, oh, you're being judgmental. But that was judgmentalism, rascal. You said I was being judgmental. That was your judgmentalism. Well, you're not being judgmental. We're simply repeating the words of Krishna. Krishna may be judgmental. He has a right to be judgmental. He's the supreme judge. He judges that anyone who doesn't accept him is a rascal. Namang duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. Those miscreants, note the word miscreants, duskritina, those miscreants who do not surrender unto me, you see, they are lower than the, they are the lowest, they are mudha, they are as, their knowledge has been stolen by illusion, they partake of the atheistic nature of demons. So we are not saying, Krishna is saying, he is saying. So is Krishna being unfair? Is he being unkind when he says those things? No. Krishna is not. It's Krishna's, everything, every word coming out of Krishna's mouth is pure love. Yeah, just during the lecture, they can be totally cut off. Yeah, good. So, how could it be a loving thing when Krishna says that they're fools and rascals? I mean, you know, somebody's feelings might be hurt. Well, if you go to the doctor and he tells you, you know, I hate to tell you, sir, but you have terminal cancer, would that be a little jarring on your plans for the evening? Of course it would be. So is the doctor cruel for telling you you have terminal cancer? Or is he being compassionate? You see? You understand? The doctor has a duty to tell you the truth. Because that truth is required to save your life. Or to, you know, possibly save your life. The truth is required. Telling the truth is not an act of cruelty. It is compassion to tell the truth. So when Krishna speaks the truth in Bhagavad Gita, it is not that he doesn't love us, that he's being cruel, he wanted to make us unhappy and make us feel guilty. No. He is telling us exactly what we need to do to get cured from this terminal disease called ahankar, material consciousness. It's pure love. Every word of Bhagavad Gita is pure love. And that person who repeats Bhagavad Gita as it is, without tampering with the message, he is also pure love, manifestation of pure love, Krishna's love, you see. Like we saw in Prabhupada, you see. He's a manifestation of pure love, you see. Because he's simply presenting whatever Krishna has said without adding or subtracting, you see. It's called transparent via medium. He's simply giving the pure message of Krishna. It's not that Prabhupada was speaking something that was meant for simply for the countercultural youth of the 60s, and now we moved on to other things. It doesn't, no, it wasn't like that. Supa Vilas Prabhu joined then. He wasn't part of the counterculture. He joined. You weren't a hippie, were you? No, of course not. Prabhupada's message was universal message. It had nothing to do with, oh, this is just for the counterculture. No. Prabhupada was presenting the absolute truth. What he presented back in the 60s and 70s when he was on this planet is just as relevant now as it was then. It'll always be relevant. Is he presenting the words of Krishna? Actually, Prabhupada said that my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So don't tell me Prabhupada's words aren't relevant now, 30 years later or 40 years later. I'll never accept it. They're going to be relevant for 10,000 years on this planet, Prabhupada's words. So we have a great duty as those who are trying to follow Prabhupada to study his books very carefully and to become living embodiments of these teachings in every possible way, whether we're a brahmachari, a householder, a vanaprastha sannyasi, it doesn't matter. It's just, Prabhupada's teachings are for equally for everyone, men, women, old, young, American, Canadian, Indian, it doesn't matter. These are universal teachings meant for everyone. So the more deeply we can imbibe these teachings within, in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, that will be how we will please Srila Prabhupada and how we will become happy. Because when we please Srila Prabhupada, that's when we please Krishna. So the more we can study these books and try to follow what's in these books, Srila Prabhupada will bless us with transcendental realization to understand exactly what he wants and exactly what Krishna wants. In all times, all places, and all circumstances. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. It's not like we see in other churchy entity, you know. Something you do at the temple and that's about it. No. We have devotees who live in vans and all they do is distribute books. They hardly go to the temples. They're so busy distributing books. And they're purely in a state of Krishna consciousness. Living in a van. They park on Kmart's at night. And they sleep in Kmart parking lots at night. In the day they distribute books. And they're in complete ecstasy. Distributing Prabhupada's teachings. You see. Sometimes they come to the temple just for a few minutes. Pick up some books and they go back out again. So this is not just for in the temple. This is something you can do anywhere, in a Kmart parking lot, in the wherever you are, at home. This is something anywhere you are, in all times, all places, and all circumstances, 24 hours a day. One can absorb themselves in this amazing state of consciousness known as Krishna consciousness. And taste the sweetest happiness. If you study the Bhagavad Gita very carefully, you'll be truly amazed to see what Krishna consciousness actually is. And the prahya shat priyam prapya nod bijat prapya cha priyam stira buddhi rasang mudo brahma vidramanistitaha. That person who does not rejoice upon achieving something pleasant nor lament upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-controlled, who is self-intelligent, unrewarded, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. And then Krishna in the next verse, which is the 21st verse of chapter 5, states, Vayasparsheshvasaktadma vindajatmaniyat sukham sabrahma yoga yuktadma sukham akshayam ashnute. I really like that last line. Sukham akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated person is always in a state of trance. You see, he is not attracted to any kind of material sense pleasure. Such an enlightened soul enjoys unlimited happiness, for he always concentrates on the Supreme. So the point is, it doesn't matter externally what is your situation. You can be rich, poor, famous, hated, sick, healthy, young, old, it doesn't matter. In any position, in any situation, you can taste unlimited happiness. Sukham akshayam ashnute. He enjoys unlimited happiness. So, my dear ladies and gentlemen, this unlimited happiness can be yours at every second. That is what Prabhupada is giving us, you see. You can have unlimited happiness at every minute. Hare Krishna, Maharaji. Unlimited happiness at every minute. All we have to do is dive into this sublime ocean known as Namamrita Sindhu, the nectar of the holy names. People say, well, why did Prabhupada say 16 rounds? I mean, why not 12 or 13 or 10 or 8? Why, you know, why 16? Well, here's the answer. How many people, when you leave your house, do you make sure your mobile phone's charged up? Or do you leave it halfway charged? You see? If you leave your house and your mobile phone is not fully charged, that important call you had to make, you had a flat tire on the freeway and now your phone's dead. Oh my God, my phone went dead and I'm here on the freeway and my tire's flat. I should have charged my phone up, you see? Every intelligent person will charge their phone before they head out for the day, you see. So my question is, are you going to be more conscientious about your mobile phone than you are your own consciousness? That's my challenge to you. Will you be more conscientious about your mobile phone than you are your own consciousness, which will make you or break you at the time of death? Your mobile phone won't. It's neither here nor there at the time of death. But your state of consciousness will make you or break you at the time of death. So, will you fully charge your consciousness in the morning before you leave the house or not? That's the question. Prabhupada taught us to charge up our consciousness before we begin our day, you see. That's how he trained us. So it depends on your work schedule. I mean, if you have to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning, it may be a little difficult. Depends on your work schedule. But as far as chant as many rounds as possible in the early morning hours to charge your spiritual batteries up for the day. You see? And if you do this every day and you become more and more and more addicted to the sound of Krishna's names, then all of these material desires which come in like rivers entering the ocean, they'll just bounce right off. They'll just completely bounce off your consciousness. It won't affect you. Why? Because you're getting so much nectar from Krishna consciousness. Every morning you're diving deep into that ocean, tasting the sweetest happiness in Krishna's holy names. You see. You don't have to buy a ticket to go to Vrindavan. You can go every morning to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is right there in your bead bag, you see. Right there in your bead bag, the holy dham is there. Goloka Vrindavan is right there in your bead bag. You just have to go deep, deep, deep into that Namamrita Sindhu every morning, you see. And then when you come out of that ocean, you come up from under the water and you look around at Toronto, it won't look the same. You won't see it as the mundane Tirana anymore. You'll see, the energy of Krishna. Maya Dakshena Prakriti. When you see Tirana, you go, oh yes, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. That's what you'll see when you look at Tirana. You will see Maya Dakshena Sukritis. That's what you will see. You see. And people will be so amazed, you see. They'll want to know, what is this? What are you tasting? Just like my guy, just like our ISKCON devotee Omkar Prabhu, he was distributing books at the Los Angeles airport a few days ago. And he was in so much, he was so much in bliss from preaching that somebody looked at him and they said, the smile on your face is so amazing. Let me have one of your books. If you can smile like that, I want to read your books. Give me a book, I'll buy one of your books. Just from the smile, seeing the smile on his face, he wanted to purchase a book, you see. So the more that we can dive into this nectarian ocean of Krishna consciousness, people will be amazed. So what is this anyway? What are you into? I've never seen a person like you. I've never met anybody like you. This is amazing. Whatever you're into, I want to know about it. Tell me what's it all about, you see. What do you do? How do you worship? How do you meditate? Please tell me. You see, take me to your church. I want to know how you get this consciousness. You see, this is how we should develop our Krishna consciousness, so that we become like magnets to attract the living entities to Krishna consciousness. You see, Prabhupada wants us to be like that. Powerful magnet. Each and every one of us. Every ISKCON man, woman, and child should become a powerful spiritual magnet to attract the conditioned soul. Prabhupada wants like that. Everyone should be. So that the more we purely follow the system given by Prabhupada, following, chanting at least 16 rounds, if we're not there yet, work our way up. Following these four regulated principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. The more we stick to these principles and avoid unnecessary absorption in material things. Why watch the television when you can sit down and read Bhagavad Gita, you see? I always say, why watch the news when you can be the news? Be a preacher, then you become the news. Why watch the news when you can be the news? Why study history when you can make history? By your very life, you can make history. So, in this way, we should take up Krishna consciousness with all seriousness, with all enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is very important. We should always be enthusiastic. Actually, that was one of the very first orders I got from Prabhupada, direct order to me. It's a wonderful order. When I was one of those mail order disciples that got initiated by mail. Prabhupada was in London, he chanted my beads and he mailed me my japa beads from London. But the advantage of that is, I got to write it, when I get my Guru Dakshina, I got to send a letter to Prabhupada. So I thought, I was thinking about being separated at time of nikshivation, it was a benefit. Now I get to write him, and when I send my dakshina, I get to send a letter to Prabhupada also with my dakshina. So I was at that time with Vishnu Janaswami, so I must have been really fired up about spreading the movement, because I said something to Prabhupada about spreading the movement. I don't remember what I wrote him. But he picked up on that, and he really appreciated that. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now if you will continue enthusiastically as you are doing, surely Krishna will bless you. So I went, pleasing, carrying out the order of the spiritual master, that's how we're successful. So I decided I'm going to follow this order for the rest of my life. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens in the material world, what happens to ISKCON. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens. Prabhupada told me you have to always be enthusiastic. No matter what happens, I'm just going to stick to his order, you see. And you know what? It worked. Prabhupada said, Krishna will bless you. Krishna's been blessing me like anything. I'm amazed how much Krishna is blessing me. Out of nowhere now, I have 10,800 people on my e-course. I'm doing two around the world lecture tours every year. I never dreamed I could have a life like this. So wonderful life, just traveling and preaching, constantly traveling and preaching all over the world with disciples in practically every continent. It's amazing. Just by trying to serve the order of my spiritual master, Krishna and Prabhupada are blessing me with so many wonderful preaching opportunities. So all we have to do is stick to the instructions, the simple basic instructions. Always be enthusiastic, always be determined, always have firm faith in the orders of the spiritual master and Krishna, Yasya Deve Pura Bhaktir, Tata Deve Tata Guru, Tasya Ite Ketita Hirata Prakashante Mahatmanaha. You see? One who has unflinched, only unto those persons who have unflinching faith in the words of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna, only unto them are all the Vedic imports revealed, you see. So do you want to realize the Vedic wisdom? Do you want to have a vision of what is the Vedic, what it means to actually transform this, to bring this planet back to Vedic culture? You want to have a full vision of that? Then all you have to do is have full faith in the words of Guru and Krishna. And then you will have a perfect realization of the Vedic wisdom. You see? So in this way, this Krishna consciousness process is simply wonderful. No matter what is your position, in any walk of life, you can practice this. In any walk of life, as a brahmachari, as a grihastha, as a vanaprastha, you see, as a student life, or working for a job for a company, or starting your own business, or retiring, or in any position, you can fully absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. You see, this is the great gift of the Aracharyas. Mahajano yena gata stapanta. One must follow in the pathway of these great acharyas, you see. This is how we will become liberated from all anxiety. This acharya panta is ecstatic, absolutely ecstatic, you see. We're not all able to join Bhakti Mark Swami on his Trans-Canada walks, but we can make our own walk within the heart back to Krishna. You see, we can all have our walk. We can all be walking sadhus, walking back to Krishna by following this Prabhupada Mark, you see. The trans-universal highway within the heart, back to Prabhupada. Lotus feet in the spiritual world. We can go there and meet Srila Prabhupada and he will introduce us to Krishna and Radharani. You see. So we simply have to stick nicely with this process and all happiness will be ours. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Well, I guess it's time to go home then. No questions, I can go take rest. For getting up early tomorrow. Okay.
What would your advice for those of us who have to go to work, during the course of the day where we have to perform certain duties, what would your advice spend most of our time with non-devotees?
Yeah.
So we chat our rounds in the morning, yeah, and we go. But during the course of the day, how would you advise?
Yeah, well, I was doing that too. I know exactly what you're talking about because I've been there in the same situation. You have to use every trick in the book to keep yourself Krishna conscious. One trick is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 8, Rasoham Apsukonte. Prabhupada told us this trick in San Francisco back in 1971. He said, every one of you are drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that, every day. He said, if every time you would drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. To become Krishna conscious, it is not a difficult job. Simply it requires practice. So how many times you go to the water cooler every day and get a drink of water? Take advantage of that. Every time you drink, because the thing is, you have to get into Rajaguna to be successful. You know, when you're swimming the sharks, you can become like a shark just to keep your position. I know what you're talking about. So you have to get in like a Rajaguni kind of mood to make it be successful. So how do you keep your sattvic inner consciousness while you're acting like a Rajaguni? That's the real question. So you have to use every possible means you can to keep both things going on in parallel. Your internal Krishna conscious and, you know, Mr. whatever it may be, externally, as a member of some XYZ corporation, successful, you know, enthusiastic employee of XYZ corporation. You have to do things like, you know, remember Krishna is the taste of the water. I know one of my godbrothers, he would put a Bhagavad Gita on his desk, just lay it out there, you know. He was sitting there. And he had a few extra copies in the drawer also. Actually, one of the co-workers, some American young man, he asked him about it, and he ended up becoming a devotee. He got initiated by Prabhupada. Just from his job, he met another devotee who was working. So that's one thing. You can just lay a book out. You can just having the book there on your desk, just seeing the Bhagavad Gita will give you, it's like a deity. It is a deity. Krishna has manifested in the form of the Bhagavad Gita. If you just have a Bhagavad Gita on your desk, just seeing the Bhagavad Gita will lift your consciousness. You'll be at least that far above the material ocean. That's all it takes to keep from drowning. If your nostrils are this, if you're only this much above the water, you won't drown, you see. So a few little things like a Bhagavad Gita sitting there. What I used to do is during the break time, in the U.S., they have to give 15 minutes break. I would take my japa bag and I go up and down the hall with my beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And one day I said, heck, I'm just going to wear tilak to work. That'll be nice. And so I was at that time I was doing telesales, you know, selling long-distance service. And my suit, we were really closely monitored by our supervisors, you know, trying to squeeze every possible sale out of us that they could. So that day I hit the numbers. I was selling like crazy. And my supervisor said, well, I don't know what that is on your forehead, but you must wear it every day. So from then on the orders of my supervisor, I wore tilak to work every day. So you just have to be creative and see how you can, you know, putting cookies in the break room once a week, you know. So every week everybody's looking forward to those cookies that you bring, you know, on every Friday or something. And every Friday you bring a big plate of cookies, the carob chip cookies, you know, with walnuts in them or something. The best cookies offered to Krishna, you know. And everyone's always asking, when are you bringing those cookies again? So in this way you just have to see how you can, according to the particular job you're in, the situation you're in, how you can introduce Krishna consciousness. And the nice thing is, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Pratipurvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mambhavayanti. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding with which they can come to me. So if you're really sincere to be a pure devotee, Krishna will give you all intelligence, how to be Krishna conscious at home and how to be Krishna conscious on the job. Of course, one of the most important things we shouldn't forget is that money belongs to Krishna that you earn. If you think you're making money for yourself, you're never going to be fully Krishna conscious on the job. You have to realize every penny of this money actually belongs to Krishna. This is all for him. And this way, if you do this, then you're a sannyasi, actually. That every penny I'm earning from this job, it all belongs to Krishna. It has to all be spent in a way that's pleasing to him. If you keep that meditation and realize I'm working for Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakura actually said like this. He said, I'm working to make money and to maintain Krishna's household. He said like that. It's in his writings. You see, If you think your wife is yours, you'll never be Krishna conscious. If you think your house belongs to you, your car belongs to you, you can never be Krishna conscious. You have to see everything is Krishna's property. Your wife belongs to Krishna, your house, your children, your own body, every penny of your bank account. You have to see that everything is Krishna's property. And if you have that mood, then you can be purely in a state of bhakti all day long at work too. So does that help a little bit? Okay. Now sometimes they say I'm too heavy. I have a reputation. Sometimes there's rumors going around, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, he's too heavy. So sometimes I ask people, well, do you want a heavy Bhakti Godhead in one this lifetime lecture, or do you want a light Bhakti Godhead after many lifetime lectures? After many lifetimes lecture. And people vote, no, we want a heavy one. Bhakti Godhead in this lifetime. So I generally do that. I just want to tell you what I mean. It may be a little heavy sometimes what I say. Maybe, oh, it's too much. Why is he being so strong? I mean, can't he be a little more mellow? I mean, you know. But I really, you know, I don't know if I'll, this may be the last of one time I have to preach to you all. I may not preach to you again in the future. I may die tomorrow. So I want to, you know, I have to give you what I heard Prabhupada give me, you see, this. The strong message that he gave me, it's my duty to pass it on to you so that you can get the full benefit. The Prabhupada gave us, his followers, you see, and we were here listening to his lectures. And we got such a great benefit from his strong preaching. So we really have to, it's our duty now to give you the same strong, powerful preaching that he gave to us. Even if sometimes people think, oh, it's too heavy, it's too much. We have to do it. It's our duty. Any other questions? Yes.
To have faith in the spiritual master, is it just a decision you made?
Well, how did I get faith in Prabhupada? Well, for me, it was a long and winding road. And we're talking 5.5 years search brought me to the point where it took me 5.5 years of going through this thing and that thing, so many things, to put my full faith in His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It wasn't an overnight thing. 5.5 years of searching, 5.5 years of struggle to find my spiritual path. You see, 5.5 years it took me. But it was worth it. Prabhupada said, blind following me is condemned. So I remember when I told Vishnu Jamaraj, oh, I'd like to surrender now and become a disciple, you know. Instead of saying, well, that's great, you know what he said? He surprised me. He said, well, I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. I was amazed. I told him I wanted to surrender and he didn't even say, great. He was skeptical whether you're really serious or not. That's what he was telling me. So I understood this was not some fly-by-night operation. This is serious business. You see. To accept that Prabhupada is as good as God, then I was told that, I was shocked actually. You have to accept the spiritual master as good as God. I was shocked, but then later on I understood. And the first devotees also heard that at 26 Second Avenue. They were also shocked when Prabhupada first said you have to accept the spiritual master as God. Not that he is God, but accept him as good as God is what Prabhupada meant. So how to come to that point is not, it may not always be an easy thing. Of course, it depends on where you left off in your last lifetime. But for me, it was it's a matter of rejecting the Western culture that I grew up in as having any actual knowledge of how to achieve true happiness. That was the first step. than looking for something alternative. And then I realized there were great sages and yogis and mystics in India who had a key to happiness, spiritual enlightenment. So then I resolved to go to India and just become a mendicant, give up all material advancement, just become one of those holy beggars, you know, in India. I was on my way to India to do that, to give up everything and just be a wandering mendicant in India. But then on the way, a voice in Thai told me to go instead of going to New York to catch a ship to India, I turned around and went to San Francisco. I was directed from within to go to San Francisco, and then I walked in the Golden Gate Park, and there they were, Hare Krishna. It's my shortcut to becoming a sadhu, meeting the devotees. But at the time, I was deeply steeped in Mayavadi philosophy, because that's the only books we had about Indian spirituality. It's all Mayavadi stuff. So it took a few years of associating with devotees and going through what they call the school of hard knocks, Maya's school of hard knocks, to finally realize that I really wasn't God after all. And I needed to surrender to the desire of the Supreme Person. So then I found that Prabhupada was actually I was praying to God to guide me how to become his perfect servant, and I realized that Prabhupada was actually the answer to my prayers. I realized that I have to become fully surrendered servant of God. And then I was intensely praying to be able to do that. And then Vishnu Jamaraj came and introduced me to Prabhupada's teachings, and I realized that Prabhupada was indeed the very answer to my prayers, and now I should. And finally, I finally realized I just have to surrender to him, and I did that. So that's kind of in a nutshell how I developed faith in Prabhupada. It was a gradual, first of all, rejecting the Western values, then wanting to understanding the great sages of India had something, and then getting beyond the Mayavadi influence in that arena, and then moving on to wanting to be a servant, totally sold-out servant, and realizing Prabhupada was the one who could teach me how to do that. That's what brought me to full faith in Prabhupada. Any other questions? So I was told we could be going talking during the arti. In some temples, they allow them. So is there any other questions? Maybe everybody must attend the arti now. Anyway, either way. If there's more questions. Looks like there's no more questions, so that means we can stop here. And thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.